We'll now read Lord's Day 52 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which deals with the sixth petition as well as the ending of the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Day 52. What is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is, in ourselves we are so weak that we cannot stand even for a moment. Moreover, our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, do not cease to attack us. Will you, therefore, uphold and strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that in this spiritual war we may not go down to defeat, but always firmly resist our enemies until we finally obtain the complete victory? How do you conclude your prayer? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all this we ask of you because, as our King, having power over all things, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good. And because not we, but your holy name should so receive all glory forever. What does the word Amen mean? Amen means it is true and certain. For God has much more certainly heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire this of him. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a war, a spiritual war. So are you prepared? Are you ready to fight? In times of physical war, we would be ready, wouldn't we? When we see the enemy clearly in front of us, we would set up our defenses, we would try to figure out the enemy's plans, we would make an attack plan of our own. Because in times of war, we fight for our safety. We fight for our lives, we fight for our land, our future, our children. There's a lot at stake. So how much more then in this spiritual war we are facing? We're fighting for our souls. And we're fighting, more importantly, for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet even though this spiritual war has far greater significance, even though it has eternal significance, we easily become overconfident in it. Perhaps we know in the back of our mind that this war is going on, but it's so easy to give so little attention to it in our day-to-day lives. After all, we can't always see it as clearly as tanks driving down the street in front of us. So it's easy to become slack. But brothers and sisters, our enemies aren't at rest, so neither should we. Because in this war, there's temptation lurking around every corner, lurking, waiting for us in moments of weakness. And these temptations, they can be hard to resist. We can be tempted to tell half-truths for a better reputation. We can be tempted to spend time on our phone instead of with our children, instead of doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. There are temptations everywhere. They're a reality in our lives. But it's important to recognize that temptations are not sins. It's not wrong to be tempted. They're a fact of life. Everybody has temptations in their lives. Even Jesus Christ, our Savior, he had temptations in his life too. He was tempted by the devil, and he fought against those temptations. He overcame them, and he did that for us so that he could die as a perfectly righteous man on our behalf, to take away the punishment of eternal death that we deserved. And so now we fight for Jesus Christ. We have to fight against our temptations just like Jesus Christ did. But we don't do it alone, because it is Jesus Christ who works in us through his Spirit, who gives us strength. Doesn't mean that this war will be easy, that the fight will be easy. We can't do it alone. We still need help. And God does help us in this spiritual war. We read about the spiritual armor that he gives us in Ephesians 6. So he gives us that so that we can fight. And he also encourages us with a sure victory. We will win this fight. He reminds us that we need him. And that is why Jesus taught us to pray the sixth petition: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we'll explore this afternoon what God teaches us about this under this theme: God, help us fight temptation in this spiritual war. And we'll see, first of all, the reality of temptation in our lives. Second, we'll see the fight that we have against temptation. And our third point, we'll be encouraged by the sure victory that we have, the confidence that we can have in our King, Jesus Christ. So first of all, we'll look at the reality of the temptation that we face. We so easily become overconfident in this spiritual war. It's because we're not always aware of our enemies. We tend to overestimate ourselves and underestimate them. That's something the Catechism warns us about from the get-go. It says that in and of ourselves we are so weak that we cannot stand even for a moment. Not even a moment. Temptation is real and in and of ourselves we'll give in just like that. 1 Corinthians 10 is getting at that same idea. That's why we read it. Paul is explaining to the Corinthian church that throughout the history of Israel, God's people were tempted. And they often gave into temptation. Think about the wilderness journey, which Paul alludes to. There they indulged in sexual immorality. They grumbled. They put God to the test. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, he tells us that the Israelites falling for these temptations should serve as an example for us. He goes on to say in verse 12, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." So we can't be too sure of ourselves. When we think that we can stand by ourselves, that's when we fall. That's reality. It's like it being a sunny day outside in the summer and you think you're not going to get sunburnt, so you don't put sunscreen on. That is when you get burnt the worst. It's the same thing with temptation. If we're so confident that we won't give in to the temptations that we face, then we're not going to use the protections that God has given us. And when we don't use these protections, that's when temptations hit us the hardest. When we think we've conquered our tendency to gossip, we let down our guard. We do it again. When we think we've conquered our impatience, we stop intentionally being positive around our children, around our workmates. When we think we no longer need our accountability program on our devices, that is when we fall. That is when temptations hit us the hardest, when we think that we've got it covered. But the Catechism tells us that our three sworn enemies, the devil, the world, our own sinful flesh, that they never cease to attack us. So we can never be too confident in and of ourselves. We're being attacked. The war is on. The first of our three sworn enemies, the devil, is constantly trying to sow seeds of doubts in our mind, in our hearts. Doubts about God's goodness, doubts about God's love, doubts about God's plan for us. He tries to convince us that God's plan isn't the right plan for us. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Adam and Eve, God doesn't have your best interests at heart. That's why he doesn't want you to eat from that tree. So don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. And that's what the devil did with Job as well. Job, see how you are upright and righteous. But all these bad things are happening to you. If God loved you, if God cared for you, why are all these bad things happening? Surely God doesn't have your best interests at heart. That's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to make us turn our backs upon God. The world, the second of our enemies, it's constantly trying to convince us that sin is good. And that is tempting. How nice would it be to spend every weekend at the cottage instead of being here? How nice would it be to be sitting on the couch at home watching a hockey game? The world is trying to tell us that sin is a good thing. It's what's going on with whole sexual revolution. They're trying to tell us that their view of sexuality is the best view, that is right, that is good. And the third of our three sworn enemies, our flesh. It's something that we can't get away from. We're human, we're flesh and blood, and that means we're weak. And Jesus, he understands that. When his disciples were falling into the temptation of sleep during a time of prayer, he said this to them, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Even when we want to fight against our temptations, even when we desire to serve God with our whole being, it can be so hard. We experience this when we're tired as well, don't we? When we're tired, it's so much easier to give in to those temptations. When we're tired, it's so much easier to lose patience with your spouse, with your children. When you're tired, it's so much easier to spend time mindlessly scrolling on your phone. Our flesh is weak. We can't escape it. So even more, we need help. None of us are in this alone, brothers and sisters. Everyone faces temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." And that's true. That means that others will be fighting the same temptations as you. You aren't alone in this war. We're all supposed to be fighting, and we're all fighting the same enemies. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. That means we can help each other through it. So we can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We shouldn't deny that we have temptations. We shouldn't deny that we have struggles in our lives. Everyone has them. Rather, we should acknowledge them. We should acknowledge that we need help. Brothers and sisters, do we see the enemies attacking us? Or are we too self-reliant to put up our defenses? And do we realize that we're fighting this fight along with the church? We can share our temptations. We can learn from one another. We share common temptations. That's the reality. It's what Scripture says. So we don't need to fight alone. We have each other. And most importantly, we have Jesus. Because Jesus, just like us, was tempted. He knows what it's like. He understands us, and he can help us. He is our high priest in heaven. He's the one who takes our requests to the Father, as we heard about last week. And he does this lovingly. He doesn't say back to us, "Why are you so weak? Why are you so silly? Why do you keep falling into those same temptations over and over again?" No, he understands them. He understands us, and he delights to take those requests to the Father. So he will take our requests to the Father. So the question arises, are we going to Jesus with our temptations? Are we praying for help? Are we praying, "God, help us fight temptation in this spiritual war"? Because after all, God will help us. Do you remember what we read about in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13? It's what Paul says there. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God, he gives us the tools to fight against temptation. He gives us a way of escape. And that's what we're going to be looking at in our next point as we consider the fight against temptation. In this war, God will provide a way of escape. He will help us in this battle. That's why we read Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. It showed us the reality of the spiritual war we're facing. And it tells us how we are to fight against those temptations. So Ephesians 6, it's famous for being the chapter about the armor of God. But I want you to notice the first words that we read from Ephesians 6, verse 10. Doesn't just start listing the armor. It says this: "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." So we're encouraged to be strong in the Lord. He is our strength. He is the one who gives us the tools that we need to fight in this battle. And that's why we confess. That is why we confess in the catechism that in the sixth petition we're asking God to uphold and strengthen us by the power of his Spirit, so that in this spiritual war we may not go down to defeat, but always firmly resist our enemies until we finally obtain the complete victory. So God, he equips us through his Holy Spirit. God gives us his Holy Spirit to work in us to fight against the temptations that we face. The Spirit of God works through the armor of God that we're given. The Spirit of God, it's getting us ready for this battle, and it's in the battle with us. And amongst other things, he gives us a shield, the shield of faith, which help us extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. This is our defense. The defense we have against our temptations. It's our shield. It's the faith that the Spirit works in our hearts. The devil, our flesh, the world, they continue to attack us. They try all sorts of strategies to convince us that faith isn't worth it. We're tempted to believe that God is distant, that God doesn't love us, that he doesn't care for us, that he won't save us. The devil continually telling us this, it can be hard for us to fight against, especially when unbelievers seem to have a better life than we do. When they seem to be succeeding in life, even though we're promised blessings as followers of Jesus Christ. Their lives, they can seem so much more enjoyable from the outside. We can be tempted by their lifestyle. And then we can be tempted to think that none of this is worth it. Yet the Spirit works faith in our hearts to stop those arrows piercing us. It's a war, it's hard, but the Spirit works faith in our hearts so that we keep on believing in our Savior. He gives us this shield to stop those darts which are trying to make us reject God, to turn away from Him. It's how the shield of faith works. And the Spirit, He doesn't just put us on the defensive. He gives us an offensive weapon as well. He gives us the sword of the Spirit, which we read is the Word of God. The Spirit upholds us. He strengthens us by the Word, because by the Word we're shown the wonderful gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. We are shown the love of Christ for us. We're shown that if we believe in Him, we will be saved. We will win the battle. And further, in the Word of God, we're shown how to fight against the temptations that come along. I want you to think about when Jesus Christ was tempted. I'm sure many of you know that Bible story. When Jesus was tempted, how did He combat the devil? He had Scripture on His heart. He knew the Word of God. 3 times the devil tried to tempt Jesus, and what did Jesus say in response? No, Satan, this is what the Word of God says. No, Satan, the Word of God says that you shouldn't put God to the test. No, Satan, in the Bible it says you should worship the Lord your God and Him alone. I cannot worship you. See how Jesus took the offensive? The devil was tempting Him, and Jesus attacked straight back. What God says is true, and it trumps all. Loved of God, loved of Christ. Are you using this sword? Are you busy in the Word? Is the Word of God on your heart? That is how Jesus attack temptations, and that is how we should attack temptations as well. This is what God says is true, what God says is good. But in all of this, in our fight, we need God's help. And that is why, after giving a description of the armor of God, Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, he says that while using this armor, we're to be praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer, with supplication, and to that end, to keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we need to pray. We need God's help. So we need to pray, God, help us fight temptation in this spiritual war. God, help me use the shield of faith. God, help me use the sword of the Spirit. I can't do it alone. I need You. God will help us, and He does help us. So are we praying to Him? Do we see our enemies? And do we recognize that we need help? Help from above. And are we constantly in the Word? Are we praying without ceasing? Are we honest about our need for dependence upon the Spirit of God? And are we honest with each other? Ephesians 6 encourages us to pray for all the saints. We're to pray for one another. And that's a beautiful thing. But for us to pray for one another, we need to know what to pray for one another. Are we taking this war seriously? Because if we are, then we should be confessing to people who we trust, people in the church. We should be confessing to them what temptations we face so that we can pray for one another, so that we can help each other. Are you asking others to pray for you? That's what Ephesians 6 is getting at as well. We're a church, we're called to pray for one another. And all of this won't be in vain. This whole fight, it's definitely worthwhile. Because we read in the catechism that we fight this fight until we finally obtain the complete victory. The victory has been won. Jesus Christ won that for us on the cross. The victory has been won, but we still need to obtain it. Christ was tempted and he fought against it. He died for us on the cross. So now we still need to fight, but we can be sure that victory has been won. So we hold fast and we fight until we obtain that victory. We put on Christ and we serve him with his help. And he will help us fight until sin loses its shine. Until sin loses its shine. Because sin does lose its shine. We can experience that in our own lives, can't we? When in the past we've constantly been struggling with a particular sin or struggle, and once we've overcome that sin, it doesn't seem so tempting anymore. We've been there, we've seen it, we've overcome it by God's grace. And now it doesn't tempt us anymore because we truly see how bad it is. After Christ helps us break free from these sins, they no longer seem as attractive. Christ is at work in us in that way too. And the beautiful thing about this is that when we pass on to eternal glory, all of sin, all temptations will lose their desire. We'll no longer be tempted, but we'll be able to live in beautiful submission to King Jesus. So fight hard, congregation. Fight hard with Christ's help, with the armor of God, and fight hard until you pass on. Because death, it doesn't make us die forever. But it puts an end to sin, and it's an entrance into eternal life. Fight on, brothers and sisters. Fight on until you finally obtain the complete victory. So we've seen the reality of temptation in our lives, and we've just looked at the fight we have to face against temptation. And now we can be encouraged with a sure victory. We can have confidence in our King, Jesus Christ, and that's what we'll see in our last point. God, he'll help us in this fight. He has that power, and we can have confidence in God because he is our King. That's why we pray at the end of our prayers, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Because God's kingdom, it's been established. God is all-powerful and is also faithful. And he commands us to pray for help in this spiritual war. And so he will help us. He can help us. He will help us. Because God wants us to fight against temptation. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have taught this petition to us. God wants us to fight. That's why he gave us the armor. That is why he gave us his Spirit. And so we ask God to help in this petition and in all the petitions because he is our King. He has power over all things. He's willing and he's able to give us all that is good. Do you believe that? He is willing and able to give you all that is good. Do you have confidence that God will help you in this battle? Because he will. Otherwise, his whole plan would have been pointless. Why would he have sent his son to die for us if he wasn't going to help us enjoy the blessings of belonging to him? That's what we read about in Romans 8, verse 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up us. He gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He'll help us in this war. We can be encouraged to fight because we know that our King will lead us into battle and he'll win it for us. He has the power to win. He has the power to work in us to be faithful soldiers so we can fight with full reliance on him. God is faithful. When we pray what he has taught us to pray, he will listen to our prayers. And even though we still struggle in our fight against temptations, even though we struggle to rely on him, even though we are weak, he still listens to our prayers. He will still help us despite ourselves. That's why we end our prayers by saying amen. Short word, beautiful word, packed full of meaning. Amen, it is sure to be. For God, much more certainly hears and answers our prayers, and we feel in our hearts that we desire this of him. It's amazing. So pray, brothers and sisters, pray. God will hear you. God will help. We can have confidence in our King. He's merciful and gracious. He loves us. To him be all glory forever. Amen. Let's now stand and sing. Sorry, we don't stand for this one. We'll just sing hymn 55. Hymn 55.